What's up? What's up? What's up? I wanted to get on here today and talk about the curse of knowledge. And I was just talking to one of my clients this morning. And I'll tell you what, they say knowledge is power, but is it really? See, I brought this up recently and I've observed this. I grew my first business right out of high school with no college to six figures a year in revenue within 2 years of getting out of high school. And I can tell you right now, I didn't have 1% of the knowledge, the connections, the resources, the talent, or the skills that I have today. Yet, I took more action in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 than I did in, you know, what the heck year is it? In 2020 through 2024. Now, granted, I have made this year the year of MIA again, the year of imperfect action. And magic's been happening. The mystical's been happening. There's been magnetism in my life and things happening that people who want practicality, people who want literalness, people who want steps, people who want the tangible, the physical, I want to be able to touch it. I want to be able to see it. I want to feel it. I want to know exactly what to do. It's not making sense. Not on the surface, that is. And so knowledge is kind of like a superhero with superpowers. It's only great if you know how to use it. You know how to manage it. And so what I found is that as I gained more knowledge, as I had more experiences, my man, Jason Gaynard, freaking on LinkedIn, leaving a comment. Holy Toledo sticks. Hey, man, you know, this is a great example. I am not doing things right on the surface, yet more income and more opportunities have happened in the last 6 weeks than the last 12 months. I have generated more in my coaching business in the first 3 months of this year than the last 12 months of last year. And on LinkedIn specifically, I've had people tell me, dude, what you're doing is all wrong. You shouldn't be doing it that way. And so what I've learned is that we have all these traumas. We have all these experiences. We have deaths. We have things that work. We have things that don't work. And our brain just wants to keep us safe. And so when I was a young whippersnapper, not knowing what the heck I was doing and meeting a guy like this guy, Mr. Jason Gaynard, holding, you know, events with people paying him $10,000 a head to be there and meeting him at a Tim Ferriss event that was $10,000. I come from a small town here, about 25,000 people in the Midwest. My mom cleans houses. My dad works at a cemetery. I don't have on the surface the ingredients to be in rooms with Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and these different people. Once I had a coach who was a Tony Robbins coach and told me that when I told her that I had about 45 minutes with me and my assistant and Tony, because he was interviewing, I think it was not Ray Dalio, but Paul Tudor Jones. And he had to leave for about an hour. And it was me, Tony, and my assistant. And she goes, you can't even buy that. People pay $75,000 to be in Platinum Partners. You can't even buy that. And so this curse that we talk about with things, the curse of knowledge, right? The curse of ADHD. ADHD isn't a superpower. Well, the reality is we're wanting the good without the bad. The bad is a perspective because one person's blessing is another's curse. And so what I've found is that there's so many people who want, we all want to some degree, certainty and conviction that what we're going to do is the right thing, that we're not going to look stupid, that we're not going to waste our time. And the truth of the matter is there is no guarantees. Because if you do nothing, you probably feel bad for doing nothing, for procrastinating, for not taking action. You're stuck. You're confused. You're like, well, I don't have this passion and this purpose anymore, right? And then you take actions and then you're doing it and you're like, that's not quite right. That doesn't work. And then people judge you and go, you're flighty. You stop and start and you do all these different things. What's wrong with you, right? And so then we get stuck in freeze mode and we don't do anything. The more knowledge you gain, the more you can think things through and go, well, I should do, I shouldn't do. That works, that works. That doesn't work. I shouldn't do that. No. They say this. And then before you know it, because there's so many options, you do nothing, right? And so my man, you're writing a book right now. Hell, I don't know if you're still listening or not, but like there's so many things that you have learned from so many people about the right way to write a book. And I've got to do things a certain amount of time and a certain amount of days and a certain amount of this and a certain amount of that. And it's like, there are people who have taken 10 years to write books and they have sold billions. There are people who have taken 10 days to write books and they've sold billions, right? There are people who have written 800 books and sold none. There's people who have written 800 books. There's a lady named Barbara Cortland. Look her up. She sold over 500 million to a billion copies of her books. She held the record for 23 novels in a year. By most people's standards, they weren't good. Picasso had 50,000 works of art. By most standards. Noah Kagan, you're friends with Noah Kagan. He's talking about, I keep pulling up all his stuff about all the different things. Like, look at this. This is absolutely incredible when you start reading some of these statistics from people. And we think about what really, I have so much screenshots, so I probably won't find this. One second. Where is it at? It doesn't matter. I got 50,000 screenshots. But so many people have, quote unquote, failed more than they've succeeded. But it's been through the failures. Or rather looking at it winning or losing, we can look at it as winning or learning. And for me, I said this was going to be the year of MIA, but it's also the year of TIA. Just tiny imperfect actions, building another T, which is trust. Because too many of us have traumas and have had things that happen that our brain doesn't trust us. It's not that logically we don't know what to do. We're not doing it because we don't know what to do. We're not doing things because our body's saying, don't do it. It's not safe. And so what I've had to train my mind, train my body over the last few years is to know that it's safe to do again. The 18-year-old me didn't know what was safe and not safe. I was jumping out of metaphoric planes, and my buddy would say, my man Steve Sisler saying, building my wings on the way down. It's like, but I slammed into the ground so many times that by the time I was in my 30s, I'm like, hey, man, my arm's kind of hurting and these things. And I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I should stop jumping out of the planes, right? And then that's what happened. And yet I'm a person who learns through the doing, not through thinking. And you can't think your way out of your problems. Because the more knowledge you gain, the more you know you don't know, and the more you can think this and that and what you're trying to do. And what I've found is a protection mechanism. If I spend 6 months thinking about something before I take the action, then I must guarantee my success. But the reality is, do I really? Or do you end up with just as many problems? And this is what I had. I had a guy who was a coaching client who really wanted more steps. And I'm not the step guy. Right? Like, I'm just not the details guy. That's not how I've operated in my life. And the more I get stuck in the weeds and the details, I lose. Quote unquote, I can learn instead of lose, but I definitely don't do as well when I get stuck in the weeds. And so this guy loves that part of me, but also wanted something with greater detail. So he finds a guy, he's given him all the exact steps, all the right things. He spends 30 days. I'm going to go into this meeting. This is going to be the best meeting of my life. I'm going to crush this. And it was the worst meeting of his life. And he was devastated. He was manic. He was going all ballistic because it was like, I put all this time, I put all this energy, I put all this stuff. Oh my God, it was supposed to work. And this was a friend of mine. And now they looked at me like I was some kind of a-hole and all this. What? Oh my God, I can't understand. I had all the knowledge. I had all the stuff because I was supposed to be safe here because I had more information. I wasn't safe. So what's that say? Oh my God, more information I have, I'm not safe. So, I've been proven to not be safe if I just do things without information. I'm proven to not be safe if I do things with information. My man, see, there it is. God dang, Jesus criminy. I'm telling you what, Steve Harrison, there is a mother freaking magnetism, my brother. I'm telling you, guys, I'm going to be all over the place today because I was just telling somebody this morning that in the world, in the physical world, you cannot cut down a tree easily with a butter knife. But in the mystical, magical world, you can. And that is what drives people crazy, is that there is this mystical side to our world, to our universe, that you can cut down a tree with a butter knife. And I used to say, I'm always looking for the chainsaw. But yet the reality is that you are the chainsaw if you believe you're the chainsaw. But in the real world, we need scissors to cut certain things. You can't cut them with your fingers, right? We need the chainsaw to cut down the tree. You can't do it with a butter knife, right? So there's this stuff in the physical world that is logical, but then there's the mystical, magical world that is illogical and it's invisible. That's why there's so many females who are living in the mystical, living in the invisible, living in the impractical. And they're achieving things that their counterparts, whether male or female, are looking at and going, I can't understand how you are achieving that. Because it's not logical. It's impractical. It's not in a step-by-step. It's not formulaic. It's not do this, then do that. I'm sitting here putting out all this stuff right now, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, people are reaching out to me because of stuff. I mean, most of the money I've generated in the last 3 months is not even from people watching these videos. They're not. I had a guy contact me a couple days ago, and I'm thinking he's going to tell me he's loving the videos and everything. He's like, oh, you made this post 2 years ago inside this group, and I connected the dots. I'm like, well, there's hardly been anybody reaching out to me in the last freaking, 2 years. But this magnetism that I have to achieve results, like my man Steve Hardison here, right? Like, I had an impulse on a Wednesday night when I had this random opportunity to fly down to Arizona, and I just texted this guy, Mr. Hardison, at 10 o'clock at night and said, well, the stars and the universe will, has aligned, and I'll be in Arizona here this coming week. And can I meet you for 5 minutes? Boom. 5 minutes later, I get a message back. That's what happened with Tony Robbins. That's what happened with Tim Ferriss. That's what's happened with some of the biggest things in my life. I call it light thought versus heavy thought, right? Exactly. It has its own set of rules, and they don't match the physical world and what people want from all these courses and these programs that want the certainty. I have learned to dance with the certainty and the uncertainty, because when you can trust and have faith, these magical things happen. And so I've done things that when people look at me, they can't understand how I did it. And because I lack self-esteem and self-worth for a long time, the reality is I doubted myself. I doubted my superpowers. I doubted who I was and who I am and who I am being. And when I am being mystical and magical and powerful and magnetic, things happen that can't be put into a course, a program, a step-by-step, a formula, a book, or anything else. And for so long, I couldn't understand that. And for so long, I surrounded myself with people who didn't get it or understand it or teach it. And you can't really teach it. I have so much intuition. When I trust that intuition again, incredible things happen. But when I overthink and I overanalyze, I can tell you, by and large, there's a time and a place to think a little bit more about something. But there's not a lot of these situations that are life or death, where if you make this decision that you've got to spend all this time thinking about, you're going to potentially have something bad happen. Most things are not like that at all. See, when I had the impulse to email Tim Ferriss back in 2010, I did not overanalyze that. I did not think, oh, well, I don't know, he's pretty big, he's pretty busy. If you think of his book, he probably won't respond to me. What's the time? And go through all these things to basically talk myself out of doing it. I just sent the message. Same thing with Tony Robbins. Boom. If you look at it from a grammatical standpoint of, did I write the email in this right way, this particular way? No, I'm just write it with passion. It just came out of me, right? And when I've allowed that to happen, things happen that are unexplainable. Miracles happen that other people can't reproduce, because what was happening on the inside, they don't have right now. And they're trying to replicate it. I was just told the other day, I am an innovator, not an emulator. And I have done a lot of my life attempting to emulate others. And a lot of people are trying to emulate other people. When there's things that are happening that you can't emulate, you can't replicate. The times that I have spent the most volume of time thinking, the thing is, we have this visceral feeling to things. We spend a lot of time, energy, and effort and expect something specific to happen from what we do. So if I spend 6 months working on something and I don't get this particular outcome or result, I'm going to feel that in my body. My body's going to know, don't do that again. But see, my light thought versus heavy thought theory is the light thoughts, the inspired thoughts, the quick actions. Right? I can do 1,000 of those, only have 5 of them work, but the reality is I don't remember the 995 of them. But if I spend a year taking 2 actions and those 2 actions don't work, I feel those and I don't want to do it again because it was exhausting. And so, oh man, dude, I love you, brother. It's absolutely, I remember this feeling when my wife called me the mind mechanic back. And I believe it was June 17th of 2020, my wife called me the mind mechanic. And I got on and I did a live because I was so, this is me, the mind mechanic. It's not a coach, a therapist, a consultant, a counselor, these things, all these different words. It's like I used to be going by the moniker, the jump starter. And I thought, I know so much more that I can deal with the mind in so many different ways to help somebody get clarity, get unstuck. Their windshield's got shit all over it and they're freaking stuck in the mud and they're not moving forward. And I am able to clear that windshield, get them out of the mud, jumpstart their car, tune it up and tweak it, get it moving forward. And this guy right here, my man, Mr. Steve Artisan, you showed up to that call. Rock and roll, my friend. Love you, brother. And it's like incredible human beings. When you show up different, the world shows up different. And so I have found that when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to anything being considered bad or good, it's in the eye of the beholder. Some people love the rain. Some people hate the rain. Some people love the sun. Some people hate the sun. Some people love driving. Some people hate driving. Some people love business. Some people hate business. Some people love recording videos like this. Some people hate recording videos like this. There is no perfect way. There is your way. And when you're dealing with things, not like, hey, there's stop signs because it's safer to not just fly through them while other cars are flying through them. There's a lot of things like that probably should pay attention to and just let them be where they are. But when it comes to growing a business, when it comes to marketing your business, promoting your business, I am owning more and more every day that we have to find our way. And everybody's making it up as they go along. They're making up their prices. They're making up their marketing. They're making up their strategies. And then they're creating systems and templates and structures and all these things because they want to be able to say, if you do what I do, you'll get what I get. But you can't get what they got because you're not going to do or be what they are. And so many people are stuck in their head. And I was stuck in my head for 2 years. And you know what? I'm going to let this go today. I'm just fired up. It's like, I can't even fully put into words how I feel right now. I didn't bring it downstairs. You know, I published this book for my grandpa, and this was one of his biggest regrets in life. And we did in 2 days, me and my buddy, Steve Sisler, in 2 days, what didn't get done in 40 plus years. Taking a deep breath. How I feel right now, if people knew on certain levels my financial situation or different things going on in my personal life, because some of it's just private, I just can't share with people and what's going on. Cause it's not the world's business. I share as much as I can for my own life, but feeling how I'm feeling right now, the outside world doesn't need to change to feel this way. And I feel amazing. And I can't work with everybody personally and privately, but getting to see how my clients, how those closest to me feel when I infect them with this energy is incredible. And I've felt this way before. But I don't think I've ever quite had the self-awareness that I have now when I felt it. Because it felt fleeting. It felt like, there it goes. It's kind of like the wind. There it goes. Learning how to harness this and channel it so that it can happen more regularly is a daily practice. You know, I wish I could just not, you know, sleep for 24 hours one day and then like not need to sleep again for 24 days or, you know, take a shower today and not need to take a shower again. But when it comes to the mind, it takes that constant grooming, that constant tweaking, that constant adjusting, that constant tuning up. You know, as my man Robbins would say, the weeds grow automatically. And so we can have these moments of enlightenment. We can have these ahas. We can have these epiphanies. But the truth of the matter is that for you consistently have the magic and the miracles happen regularly versus randomly, you have to have some intentionality. I'm going to leave it at that for right now. Oh, God dang, there he is. That's Jason Carmody. I was about to get off. God dang, there he is. Oh, the magical people, they all pop up when you're magnetized, baby. Maintaining is easier than regaining. My man, it is. It's why I made more money picking my nose last year in video production than some people do working their rear ends off. But that came from 18 years. It was easy to maintain. But so many people are trying to obtain, not even regain, but obtain from a place of... And that's real hard. You doing stuff you don't want to do, and you're only doing it because you think it's going to make money, then you screwed. Anyways, I got to peace out for right now. Eddie, I love you. Steve, I love you. Oh, yeah, I love you. God dang, fire today. Rock and roll. Have an incredible day. Oh, man, Eddie, I have so much to say. I just got to run for right now. My man, rock and roll, everybody. Go on over to the Mind Mechanic. Check it out. If you want help, if you want this energy for you personally, privately, I work with people one-on-one. I don't have any courses, programs, step-by-step formulas, frameworks, nothing. I put this stuff out for free to give the vibes, to give the juice to anybody and everybody who wants to consume it. And then if you want some private juice, private support, private help for me to infect you personally and privately, then send me a message. You won't regret it. Keep rocking, keep rolling. I love you, brother. And we'll talk soon. All right. Bye-bye.